I'd like you to take the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 2. We've been hearing about this and singing about it. Now we read about it in the Word of God. Romans chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou dost the same thing. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and dost the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark that expression in the closing part of the fourth verse, the goodness of God. The Bible says if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The work of the devil is to blind men to the goodness of God. The object of the goodness of God, the outcome of the goodness of God, when properly responded to, is to bring repentance to us, to bring our lives in line with God, to bring us to the place of obedience to the Lord. And God says that his goodness brings this about. We read here about the judgment of God being true and the judgment of God being sure. But it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. I want you to hold your place here just for a moment and turn with me to the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What we think of God, the image we hold of God, determines everything else in our human behavior. The greatest discovery we ever make is the discovery of God. To know that he's real, and more than that, when we come to know him personally, is our Savior. And he promises that his goodness and his mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. He told Moses, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. And what he does to strengthen us is to give us his goodness and his mercy. His mercy is God withholding from us what we rightly deserve. We are all sinners. We've all sinned against God. We have all turned to his own way, the Bible says in Isaiah 53. We're all deserving, rightly deserving, of the punishment that God proclaims. And so his mercy holds that back. His mercy. But then there's his goodness. His goodness is showering upon us, providing for us unimaginable blessings. It is in the very nature of God to express this goodness. And we have His goodness and His mercy. And the Lord appeals to all of us. He appears to us as a God whom we fear. And we read about our God being a consuming fire. But He says, it is my goodness that I want you to understand. And my goodness that will bring you to repentance. Let's go a little deeper with this in the Old Testament book of Exodus. Moses was with the Lord in Exodus chapter 33. And he declares concerning his journey with the Lord, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. He's saying, Lord, either you're going with us or we're not going. Verse 16 of Exodus chapter 33. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. We talk much about separation and many times confuse the idea as being something of separation from the world and to the Lord, but it's really separation to the Lord. And as God fills us with His goodness and mercy, and we separate ourselves to the Lord and learn of Him and come to know Him, it's His presence that divides us. It's His presence that separates us. Verse 17 says, and the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Verse 18, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Evidently, Moses wanted to see God face to face. And may the Holy Spirit of God teach us what we're about to read. And he said, this is the Lord to Moses, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Moses said, I want to see thy glory. I want to behold you. And God says, this is the way that's going to work. I will make all my goodness pass before thee. No wonder God says the goodness of God leads us to repentance. We see the Lord for who He truly is. We come to the third chapter of John and we read, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. And we pass over that perishing quickly. But all the perishing Jesus took upon Himself. As a matter of fact, God says, you're going to know me by my goodness. And in chapter 34 of Exodus, verses 6 and 7, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. God is before all things, and he says, you want to know me, and you know me in this way. By my mercy and graciousness, by my long suffering, and by my abundance in mercy, goodness and truth, goodness and truth. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear this guilty, the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generations. God, I want to know you. And the way we know him is as he expresses his goodness to us. In John chapter 3, the Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. In verse 36 of John 3, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You and I can see life. We can have eternal life because the wrath of God struck the Lord Jesus, God's Son. It's God's goodness in the death of Christ, who paid our sin debt, who suffered God's wrath that we rightly deserved because of our sinfulness. It's His goodness. It's His goodness. He received our wrath. We received His life and salvation. That's why Christ came, to bring us God's goodness. Many people profess to know the Lord, they just profess to know the Lord. They don't truly know the Lord because they know nothing of His goodness and nothing of His mercy. You know they know nothing of His goodness and His mercy because there appears to be no goodness and no mercy in them. If we really have received God's goodness and God's mercy, we extend that mercy and extend that goodness to others. We've been so affected by God's goodness. It has led us to repentance. We have seen the glorious goodness of God, and our hearts have been so moved, we want to be right with this God who's been so good to us and so merciful to us. He took our wrath. We received His goodness and His mercy. The Word of God says in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That's our lives. Before Christ, disobedience. Constant disobedience. A thought life and behavior of disobedience. It's God's desire that we change directions. That we stop walking with the devil in disobedience. Dishonoring God who made us and created us. And we repent of our sin, agree with God, and begin to walk with the Lord in obedience. And He says it is His goodness that draws us, that takes hold of us, that convinces us that we need to make Him our Savior. But I want to show you the amazing thing that amazes me. The Bible says again in verse 3, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." We're one with Him. As He is in heaven, we're sitting in heaven with Him. "That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." I want you to mark one word, and I pray it'll help you to remember something. It's in verse 7. "Then the ages to come," we're seated with Him in heavenly places. And verse 7, "that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace." That's His goodness. What does that mean? It means the most amazing thing we're going to see in the ages to come. The most glorious sight we're going to behold is not the gate of pearl or the street of gold or the crystal river of life. That's not what we're going to glory in. The splendor of heaven with all the foundation stones, the majesty of it all beyond human description that God has for us as a dwelling. But the most glorious thing we're going to behold when we get to heaven is to see what God has done with wretched sinners like you and me with his goodness. And you're going to have your mouth drop open. And I'm going to have my mouth drop open and say, "Dear God, I never thought such an amazing thing could be done with such a sinner as I." That's his goodness. That's his goodness. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 2, while you're spending your time judging others and comparing yourself and trying to do better than they do and justifying yourself by some work, forget all of that. Repent and get right with God. You know his judgment's true. You're going to have an inevitable meeting with him and face him. Get right with God. And you say, "What motivates me to have a changed life, to stop living the way I've been living, making excuses?" And in reality, I'm an inexcusable man with no excuses. And the Lord says, "Because the wrath of God is building up in you, the punishment is waiting on you. The doom and condemnation that Christ received was rightly for you. So allow the goodness of God in sparing you from all of that to bring you to repentance, to bring you to a life of obedience to Christ because of all he's done for you and provided for you. May I ask you this question? Have you ever been captured by the goodness of God to think what you could be and what God in his goodness and mercy has transformed you to be? And this is just an earnest. This is just the down payment. And when you get to glory, and when you're transfigured into his likeness, when you see him and you are as him, when you see him in a perfect glorified body, like the Lord Jesus, you think all of that is because of the goodness of God. When I find myself complaining and comparing, and that's what we're good at, God stops me in my tracks, when I consider his goodness. And it brings me to repentance, to seeking God's way, seeking God's forgiveness and his cleansing. The goodness of God. Let's pray, may we?